Namaste. Let's begin with acknowledging the presence that is ourself here, this self that is unconditioned, this self which is purely being, beingness, awareness, life, here, now. So take a nice deep full breath in through your nose and out through your mouth 3 times. As you breathe out, allow yourself to rest into this moment. And as you rest into this moment, allow yourself to be simply aware, to be simply present. Feel the softness and the softening as you allow yourself to rest into the grace that is this moment, here now. As you allow yourself to be simply here in the grace of this moment, acknowledge the fullness and the openness that is here. As you breathe deeply, feel that innermost essence that is here, always here. The innermost essence that is purely awareness, purely the self-being, this which always is. As you embrace this and breathe deeply, notice the calm, the silence that is here within. Notice the light that is here within. All things are brought to light when we are present in the now. And this light is the aware self, the awakeful one. Allow yourself to be aware of this here now. Take a deep breath and feel yourself being awakefully present. As this awakeful presence, you are simply centered here now, open and connected. That here in this centeredness and openness, all things are present, rising, falling, flowing, all connected. Here now is the self that is purely one, this oneness of being. And in this oneness of being, there is the perfect orchestration of this moment. Allow yourself to simply feel and experience the energy of this moment. Noticing that it is simply here abiding in this presence that is the aware self. Take a deep breath into your innermost center now, acknowledging the essence of self that is here and the grace that is here in this moment, the grace that flows in and through your being. As you feel this grace, take a moment to give thanks for being here now. With this gratitude, take another breath, feeling the flow of this peace and calm, the love, the wholeness that is within you and all around you. And feel that flowing through your form, from cell to cell, radiating through your aura, emanating into life, in connection with all life, here now. As you feel this connection here now, gently affirm to yourself, I am here. Taking another deep full breath now into your body, feeling your form centered, connected, awareness open, awakeful, receptive. And as you breathe now, gently stretch and open your eyes. We all know when we come into a space like this, when we bring ourselves here, that there's something deep and full, there's something that we can open our being to that's far greater than what we could even begin to imagine, what we usually think about. And when we do sense this and we regain a sense of communion with this, it also becomes oftentimes perhaps a little bit easy to idealize what it means to center, to come into the now, to walk the path of a more aware life. It's very easy for us to cling on to our concepts and expectations, etc., and to really miss the beauty and the power that is in the simplicity of this truth, of what it means just to let herself in. Not because we're thinking we have to let go of something or we have to change something or become something else, but just to truly let in to what is here. And when we do, we really return to the heart of the matter. Because in doing so, we really allow ourselves to be present as that which is love, truly love. not idealized love, not conceptualized love, but this which is the heart of ourself, of existence, the heart of consciousness. It's the heart that is the true seer. The mind is the seen. It's the heart that is the true knower. The mind is knowledge. The heart is the one that is embracing, the embracer, forever the embracer. The mind is the possessor. And there's such a difference between the quality of embrace and the attitude of possession, isn't there? But how many of you recognize how those, even just those two qualities, let alone us looking at the difference between the seer and the seen, or the knower and the knowledge, how many of you notice that there's quite an entanglement of those qualities in the human experience, an entanglement and confusion around what it means to truly embrace oneself, existence, each other, compared to possessing oneself, existence, or each other. And the difference is great. Possession, corresponding with the mind, is a product of fear. Embracing, corresponding with the heart, is a product of love. It corresponds with love, that which is truly love. So if we're to contemplate then what love is truly, we return to the essence of ourself, of existence, that is all being, all light, all encompassing, all embracing. There's no definition, there's no condition in this which is love. But because we've mistakenly taken a hold of the definitions of our mind, the definition of ourself, we've mistakenly come to think that love is something we can possess. And even perhaps on the spiritual path, that one may not necessarily realize it, but even the act of idealizing the spiritual practice and conceptualizing the spiritual journey or enlightenment, for example, is really nothing more than that same projection, the same effort to possess a something. When actually there is nothing to possess. In beingness, the truth that everything is, self already is. There is nothing to possess. There is no one to do any possessing, let alone anything to be possessed. So how do we reawaken to this truth? How do we let into this truth? We let into our heart. Simple. What do I mean by a heart? Not just a location, not just an energy center, but actually the center of our beingness itself. The innermost essence of our beingness. When you do, even momentarily, rest into your heart, isn't it such that if you're to reflect back on those moments, you know that when you are present as love, everything is illumined. Everything is in an embracing awareness. Without possession, without the need to cling to it, to own it, to hold it, but just to be absolutely present. To simply be present with what is. And interestingly, even if we consider the heart as a location, a center of energy, and we consider then what we are in terms of energy, we can look at even just the most basic level of our makeup as an energy system, and we discover that even in terms of our chakras, the energy centers, the heart center is in the center of these energy centers. So, reawakening to this is really a very simple and liberating encounter. Because it's not something we are to get, it's not something we have to project towards or do as an act. Rather, it is a letting go of that doingness that we're so accustomed to. It is a stopping and being present. And by that simple shift of our attention, by returning our awareness to this which is simply present, we regain our center. And in the very moment we regain our center, we are again present as the seer. Not the seen, but the seer. What am I implying by this? What do you feel? And what do you even notice in your own experience when you're present? What am I referring to when I say you become truly the seer rather than the seen? Maybe we can have the microphone. So your comment was that it's not fixed. There's a flowing, there's a processing, or a beingness. Yeah, what else?
Awareness.
So there's awareness. So tell me what you mean by awareness.
Just an all-encompassing oneness with everything.
Mm-hmm. And what about this distinction compared to the seen?
Well, the seen is like the identification and the mind stuff.
Mm-hmm. The definitions and what happens when you are occupying that space, the mental space of definitions, what happens?
Not happy.
Not happy, Mum. Not happy. It's judgmental. Is love judgmental? No. Love is completely and utterly free of judgments. So these very simple factors, and by the way, I'm fully aware I'm not telling you anything new, anything you haven't heard before or anything you don't already recognize. So the exercise of sharing and exploring in consciousness is not for that purpose. It is to deepen the sharing, to deepen the experiencing in consciousness. So, knowing these simple truths contains the most immense power. It contains all of the truth that you ever truly need to live in peace, to live in liberation, to live in awareness, to live in joy. These simple truths are already pointing you there. And this is why I say it's so important to recognize, to understand the part of the self that clings to the concepts or moves again in a way that is the idealized self. Because if we understand the difference, we can just keep coming back to these very, very simple truths that are right here, right now. So, for example, you just recognize clearly when we are in the heart of ourself, the heart of existence, we are present as awareness. In the moment we're present as awareness, we suspend the definitions. In the moment we're present in awareness, this is what I mean, that we are then the seer. The seer is the one who is illumined and illumining in every moment. There is nothing projected. There's no interruption of any belief, condition, definition. There's no interruption. There is pure witnessing, pure encountering of what is. And everything that one encounters is in love. When you are the seer, there's only love. When you are in your definitions, like you said, well, you're not happy, and there are judgments. You know what a judgment is, don't you? Yeah? We all know what a judgment is, don't we? You know what a judgment feels like, don't you? Everyone knows what a judgment feels like. And you know what it feels like when you are judging. Yes? Everyone knows what it feels like when you're judging. So, in the very moment you feel the energy of judgment, it is reminding you that you are not situated in the heart of yourself. That is all. Simple. Come back to the heart of yourself. That is all. Isn't it where true fulfillment is known? Isn't this where true contentment is known? Isn't this where true happiness is known? Isn't this where you know the true meaning of yourself, of existence? I'm not talking a defined meaning or any projection. I'm talking the seeing, the knowingness, the beingness, the encountering of existence as it is. Existence already is its own perfect meaning. We don't have to produce a meaning for it to be that. We don't have to produce an explanation, a definition. We don't have to solve anything. Existence is already its perfect meaning, its perfect process, its perfect purpose in every single grain, in every single event. This is so in every single moment. So imagine what will happen if you establish a very, very clear signal for yourself that whenever you feel the energy of judgment, you use it as the signal to come back to your heart, what will happen? You'll be in love all the time. Yes. Is there any greater truth or purpose of existence than to be love in every moment? There isn't, is there? So even if we think that producing some great ideal or concept is the way to go so that we can live truth and fulfill our purpose, even if we think that's what we need to do, really, it pales in comparison to the power that is available to us if we are living love in every moment. Because then it's not about what we are going to do. It's not about who we are going to be. It is about how we are being. That is it. How are you being? Do you want the microphone, beloved?
Is it a long process to get to that? Because I was thinking, when we're in judgment, we've got to go through this witnessing thing, maybe for years.
Here's the irony, yes and no. And, you know, it is one of the fascinating paradoxes of our experience being human, being this journey, because in truth it is such that actually it doesn't take time at all, because in the instant that you simply shift your awareness to love, to presence, there is no time. Time vanishes. It doesn't take time to be aware here now. It doesn't take effort. It doesn't take years to be aware here now. I'm going to respond to the other aspect in this paradox, so don't worry, beloved. You get what I'm saying, though, don't you? That in essence, in this respect, it does not take time, it does not take years, because you are only this now. Now is not time. Now is your beingness, the dimension of you that is truly always here, which is not in time, past or future, which is not in the polarity of the mind, good or bad, the judgments, okay? You are actually not that. You've never been that. You never will be that. You have a perception that you are, but you're actually not. Even whilst you're having a perception based in these projections of the mind, past, future, good, bad, right, wrong, even in that moment you're having such a perception, you are in the timeless, eternal beingness that is. So I really want you to get this, because as long as you keep giving more weight to the aspect of you that's taken on the perception and therefore just keeps acting out this perception over and over and over again, you just keep acting it out. It's conditioned, it's habitual that you act it out. As long as you keep giving more relevance, more weight, more power to that, you'll keep it alive. Now, here's the other aspect to the paradox. That is part of the play as well. That you are going through that play of consciousness. You're going through that play of perceived duality, perceived separation. And according to that perceived separation, you're playing through this projection of past, future,
good, bad, right, wrong. Now that's got an energy as well of its own. You wind something up, it's got to wind down. Really, it is like a wind-up toy, and you've wound it up pretty damn tight, right? You set it in motion, and it's going to take a little while before it winds itself down and it becomes quiet and silent again. So what I'm saying is that the clue in what I'm talking about here is that every time you give more relevance to that playing out of the condition, you wind the toy up again. So if you can give more relevance, more power to the truth, that no matter what you perceive to be going on, the truth is utterly transcendent of those conditions. You are utterly transcendent of those conditions in every single moment. You are the timeless. You are the now. You are the presence of consciousness. It is here. It does not take you effort. Awareness is effortlessly here. You've just kind of bypassed your conscious placement with that. You've projected your conscious placement into mental images, into giving that more weight and power. So rather than projecting your conscious attention into the heart, into the now, you project it into the judgments, into the relevance of past, future, good, bad, right, wrong. And according to that, you get the symptoms of that, which is disquiet, a sense of separation, judgment, conflict, etc. Yes, yeah.
And excarnate and think that love is some sort of excarnatory thing.
I'm absolutely not implying that at all. Thank you for sharing that. And in this instance, I am referring to heart in the essence of perception and consciousness. And I'm fully aware of what you're speaking of, the microcosm and the macrocosm, the interplay of such, and the variances between sensory perception and the multiplicity, what's perceived through multiplicity compared to that which is oceanic and undifferentiated. And that's what you get in the distinction between what I'm referring to as pure consciousness, pure awareness, opposed to conditioned perception. So our senses are also capable of registering the multiplicity without projections. So when we have centered awareness, we're capable of that. We're capable of having that meditative inwardness, an awareness of our inner being, and that aspect which actually the microcosm goes to the macrocosm anyway. We're also capable of registering through our senses in an incorrupted fashion. Without that purity of conscious awareness that I'm referring to of the heart, what we interpret through our senses is corrupted through the impressions that are already stored in the nervous system. So I'm talking about removing ourselves from the habit of putting energy and attention into those stored impressions. That's what I'm referring to. So as we withdraw that attention we've given it, and as we draw instead that attention into the center of our being, into awareness, we're capable of realizing our true nature in terms of inner essence, or etheric, as you put it, as well as organic. And in that respect, then, there is no conflict in relation to microcosm, macrocosm, and this which is indeed a play of those two dynamics. I am not at all suggesting we just somehow dissolve that and transcend that play. I'm saying we transcend the conflict we project onto it. We transcend the misinterpretation we project onto it. And we acquire a state of deep equipoise. by being utterly present with what is, we are able to see the true nature of our organic being and that interconnected, interdependent play of life. We're able to see that as it is and be at peace with that, appreciate it. We're actually capable of that. But we're not capable of that if we're actually doing it through the mental impressions that's already conditioned. Thank you for sharing that. Yes.
Hi, Sarah. Hi.
Hello, beloved.
It seems to me that the process of making something conscious is not an easy process. Because it's a habit, it's like, or whatever. Anyway, that.
Very true, which is why when Serena raised the point, you know, about how long it may take, and I commented, well, yes and no, and that there is a paradoxical nature here, because absolutely, indeed, that the process in terms of our humanness, that there is an organic element involved as well. The structure of the brain, how the brain is functioning, the functioning of the unconscious, the subconscious, the conscious mind within awareness itself. And yes, it's not instant coffee in that regard. And this is why it's so important not to grasp onto one aspect of what is being considered or delivered or explored. Because if you grasp onto one aspect, you say, well, then this is, it's this, and you leave out its counterpart. We can't do that. And that's why I say, really, all I can say is it comes back to the nature of our experience. It really is paradoxical. And in relation to what you're saying, that yes, it is so deeply a symptom of a very habitual mode of functioning, I guess, you know. But that's all to do with the stage of our evolution as well, by the way. It's not because anyone's got it wrong. It's because this is simply a process and a journey through stages of consciousness. So as that which has been stored at the subconscious realm is brought into consciousness, like you say, yes, it's illumined, it's brought into the whole space of awareness, so there is no more conflict with it in that moment. And what I'm implying is that it's actually the real grace and power for that process arrives when we understand that actually that process is facilitated by us being aware in the now. That is how the process is facilitated. So actually it doesn't matter if you want to say, well, it can take forever and it's not instant coffee and I have to do so much more processing of my subconscious and I'm so unconscious. Actually, even though we can certainly recognize that, does that really have the relevance, or is it more relevant that by being really present in the now, you actually switch on the light of your conscious awareness and conscious attention? And when you switch on that light, whatever has been in the dark is brought to the light. I'm not saying everything instantly, but simply what is available there in that moment is. Whereas if you're projecting yourself into this story of, oh, but I've got so much more to do, so much more to do, you're doing the very thing that keeps you in that.
Thank you.
Some time ago, you mentioned that, I hope it's applicable, vulnerability is the key. You said
vulnerability is the hinge on the gate to true power.
Right, would you just explain that a bit more, please?
I guess it's because oftentimes there's
a resistance in varying ways to being truly present to what we are, based on those various conditions and perhaps our inability to engage with existence as it is at all levels, right? All levels, and that includes the, you know, the physicality, the spirituality, the mental realm, the emotional realm, all the aspects of what it means. So there can be resistance at any one of those levels and or at all of those levels. And that resistance tends to be dealt with through the mechanism of control and self-protection. So the subconscious builds up all of these mechanisms which are supposedly to protect yourself from the fear or from the pain of what happens when you're not being completely at peace with all of these dynamics. And as a result, you're actually building up this false sense of strength or a false sense of power. You're avoiding feeling everything in its fullness. You're avoiding feeling the confusion. You're avoiding feeling perhaps the pain, when in actual fact, to be present to that, to be vulnerable to that, awakens you to what it truly is, awakens you to what you truly are, whether that's at the physical level, mental, emotional, spiritual level. So vulnerability allows you to actually come into presence and therefore leads you to true power. Without that, it's so easy to continue projecting this false superiority based on whether it's gained knowledge or stored experiences or stored judgments, whatever it is. It's very easy on the spiritual path to project that superiority actually as a mechanism to protect something that is more real underneath that. And that vulnerability is what we're all trying to get to in terms of our awakening. And every single great being has gone to that place first before they've shed whatever conditions they've carried, their own version. Every great being has gone to that place of vulnerability.
If it is so that what we put our attention on, we become, could that be an avoidance of that vulnerability that you're speaking of?
Yeah, on occasions, yes. Yeah. Absolutely. So this is why I emphasize so much letting into the now as it is with awareness, being present to the now as it is. In a moment of now, that might be meditating on the internal heart, the blood. In another moment of now, it might be, you know, meditating on the breath, being present to it. In another moment, it might be just being aware of the whole field, the whole space. In another moment, it might be just going so deeply in that you just move into awareness itself. But if it's centered in the now, it's not going to tend to project you away from what is to be in awareness. So if there is something there that you're going to feel vulnerable about and you're present in the now, you'll become aware of it. It won't, you know, be about escaping that. And actually, this is an interesting point, that oftentimes one of the primary reasons there is such a habitual tendency to project the mind constantly into the future, to imagine the future or to dream of the future or to cling to the past, is for fear of truly, absolutely, utterly feeling, being present to everything as it is, full stop, exactly as it is, and being able to accept it exactly as it is. So it's one of the strongest impulses, is this fear, because there's such a misunderstanding of just this. There's terror about just being here.
So, if we are the creators of our destiny, sorry, it's just words, but you know, if we are the true creators, cause. Mm. That doesn't come from the mind wanting to be something, does it? It's coming from the realm beyond mind. So does that realm beyond mind create, purely create, without the mind needing to be involved?
Not absolutely. Because all aspects of consciousness are the co-creative field. All aspects are, and all aspects play a dynamic, a role within it. In terms of the divine intelligence behind what is being created, no, that has nothing to do with the mind. However, the mind does have some involvement. Our mind is an aspect of consciousness, a tool that interfaces within this play of creation. And in that respect, the mind and its frequency and the patterns that are produced by the mind does influence in part what you perceive yourself to be experiencing. Yeah.
Listening to all of this, a thought came to me by the grace of God and faith, those two things. And I thought, well, we can talk and talk and talk forever about what is and what isn't. But isn't it like being a little child, going to the Father, going within, looking to return to the Father's house, if you're talking about the Bible here? Don't we just go that way? Or can we go that way?
Well, yes, we can. And it seems that part of the capacity for each person to return to that is to explore through dialogue, through contemplation, which does involve some words. Essentially, absolutely, there is only one thing to do, which is hopefully to hear that those words are pointing you back to your innermost essence, the presence of now, the presence of creation in its glory as it is, and to be so present that one's eyes can be open to see, simply to see this which is as it is.
Thank you.
So it's one of the reasons I do remind you all regularly that although I am here sharing or using words in the sharing, it's not about the words themselves that is of value or of purpose here. It's about what are the words pointing to. That's why I'm always emphasizing this is about the experience. The words are actually, they contain an energy which is, in a sense, harnessing the attention of the mind, of awareness, to allow an invitation to occur, to create that space in which perhaps those thoughts that might, in other moments, get caught or trapped internally in this internal conditioned dialogue, maybe just to tease that open a bit, expand that a bit and invite a shift of awareness to let into a different quality of being. So it's just pointing to, it's an invitation rather than an absoluteness. It's not about going, right, well, these are the words. And that brings me back to what I was saying earlier, that is that which is truly love and the essence of self or awareness, in which we know the perfection of all, in which we know the peace, the harmony. There is a perfect union of microcosm, macrocosm. That occurs in the heart of ourself. Whether we call that physical, mental, emotional or spiritual, it is in that innermost essence that we know that, that we experience that. That is free of judgments.
That is free of the possession. It's not going, oh, quick, now I've got these words, and oh, quick, I've got that truth and that concept. Oh, I've got it now. And there you are, you know, kind of doing some kind of balancing act to keep it there, to somehow hold it there. And meanwhile, life has changed again anyway. So on that note, how about we just let in. Let into this moment. Let in with awareness. Awareness being this which is consciously present, not dialoguing, as in, you know, having some kind of analysis of what's here, but just aware of what is here. That's it. So, nice deep full breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. And as you breathe here now, allow yourself to bring your conscious attention to your breath. As you breathe, you're simply aware of your breath. It's not a matter of discussion or explanation or definition. It's just awareness of the breath rising and falling. And as you're aware of the breath rising and falling, allow yourself to be aware that this rising and falling is here now. It is utterly here now. In the moment it is rising, it is now. As it is rising, rising, rising is now. As it's falling, 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 it's now. As you
continue being present, being aware. Allow yourself to draw deeply into your innermost center. Just letting yourself in and in and in. Notice that as you allow your conscious attention to move in this way, awareness to move in this way, there is a sense of this inwardness, but you can't really find an end or a beginning point to it. It's in and in and in. And in the very same way, that innermost essence has no boundary. It is not contained. It is all open and open and open. Notice this is the same as awareness. The essence that is here in the heart is all centered and all open. It is awareness in which everything is illumined. Everything is embraced. Everything is occurring within awareness. And indeed, love is all embracing all being. allowing yourself to acknowledge the nature of being present in the now, that when you are simply available with awareness in this moment, there is a gentle calm. There is an underlying silence and stillness. There is a centeredness and all openness. And there's an effortless unfolding that is just here. There is an intelligent working of everything. All things united in this one field of awareness. All things indeed united in love. Allow yourself now to take a deep breath into your heart center, and as you do, notice that being centered in this way allows you to feel that essence of love and grace that is here. It is always here within you and all around you. Take a deep breath in as you feel the flow, the presence of this love and grace within you. Take a moment to give thanks. Feeling the gratitude flowing from cell to cell, radiating through your aura, emanating through life, connected with all things. And a deep breath into the body now. Feeling your form centered and present here within this space of awareness, within the presence of love. Take a deep breath, gently stretch, and open your eyes. So for any of those moments where once again perhaps you start to think, but how, just remember, the how is always now. That's it. Simple. And if your mind likewise ever starts to again wonder, but where? The where is always here. The where is always here. The essence of life, the heart of life, the heart of existence is here. Only the mind thinks it's there. So thank you, beloveds, for sharing. Always here now. With such love. Namaste. Well, you're a rather calm and centered, aren't you? They are beautiful. Perhaps one last little suggestion too. Just really go through your own exploration. It's one thing to listen to words, maybe to even feel the truth in some words that are spoken or whatever one may read or hear. But really it means nothing if we don't take that into our own experience and explore whatever those words invite us to ourself. Truth can only ever be conveyed through one's own experience. So that's why I reminded you that the how is always now, because experience is only ever here and now. That's it. And you are the only one experiencing. So what you come with into each moment is what you will interpret, perceive, encounter. It's yours. If you want that which is of greatness, that which is of wholeness, that which is illumined, then simply be present from the center of your being, from the heart of your being. Simply here now. So, enjoy the adventure. Enjoy your living awareness exploration. Thank you, dear ones. And thank you, everyone, those of you who do help to set up and provide the space for us to share together with love and with awareness. Thank you so much. You're so deeply acknowledged and appreciated, each of you. So greatly, thank you.